This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the code MORNINGSTREAM. Terms and conditions apply. And by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Build a wonderful website with all the tools and templates you could ever need. No credit card required, just sign up and give it a go. If you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10% on your account. That's morning at squarespace.com.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian. Coming up on TMS, Brian is the official NFL champion.
Those commercials were dumb.
We do a very different Daryl.
Hail Caesar. Took a poop.
Yeah, it did. Google is making real VR a thing.
Drunk mothers are the worst.
Wait a minute. Google is making a real VR thing is what I meant to say. Crashing your own funeral.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There is no comfort.
Could learn to Lee.
Greetings, Earth Lady. May I interest you in some guacamole? This is the Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. This is the Morning Stream for Monday, the 8th of February, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Oh, well, hello, Scott. How are you?
Hello, Ryan. It's good to see you. How was your weekend? It was a very Super Bowl-y weekend for you.
It was a very Super Bowl. Well, the latter half was a Super Bowl-y weekend. Saturday was Tina's birthday. So,
happy birthday, Tina.
Took her out to dinner Friday night with some friends and then took her out to dinner Saturday night with some family. So,
did you go with the weird neighbors? Friday night?
On Friday night, we did. It was Weird Neighbor Night. We went up to a place in Boulder called Riff's.
Okay.
Riff's Bistro, maybe. And
Riff
plate.
Or Riff? R-I-F-F?
R-I-F-F.
Got
like,
it.
Playing a musical riff.
All right. Not like a you've opened a riff to the nether portal.
No, not like not like that that sad game that's still around on some server somewhere, but... My camera's frozen on your
stream. Oh, it is?
Stream.
Well, that isn't
I've
good.
I've been sitting there just staring blankly. I tried turning my video on and off, and that didn't seem to solve it. But
yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, we changed some things. Oh, there you go. You're back. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Oh, did you get it fixed?
Yeah, I think. Okay, cool. Or what's going on? Hold on. Oh, you know why? It's because I hit it. I will no longer hide your video. I will now not hide your video.
Oh, thank you for not hiding my video.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, so but Tina had a very lovely weekend, good birthday, good time, and now she sails into her the beginning of her 30s with blue skies in front of her, nothing but blue skies.
That's right, those 30s, those elusive 30s. well, happy birthday to her. Now, while we're on the subject, because you went out with the crazy neighbors, we need to jump straight to this. we'll talk about Super Bowl in a minute and all that, but and your Denver Broncos going all the way and how everyone in Denver supposedly has sex tonight or whatever the hell's going on over there.
Right, yes, the Super Bowl babies.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But before all that, your neighbor's got a conspiracy theory, and all you had to do is type, my neighbor's conspiracy theory, and I'm all in, so please explain.
Well, so they're Wisconsinites through and through, right? They are Green Bay Packer fans, true and dyed in the wool, green and gold forever, and giant inflatable Packer man that they put out on their lawn on Packer game days. They have a Packer flag that was flown over. I'm sorry, they have a U.S. flag that was flown over Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
that they put up every major U.S. holiday, and ever since the Packers got out of the
winning the Super Bowl race,
out of the winning the Super Bowl equation, basically as soon as they lost the playoff berth, then he's been on this rant saying, well, you know, they basically NFL had this whole thing fixed to make sure that Peyton Manning went out of his career with a win.
Oh,
they arranged all these games.
Now, when you'd say that to me, my first reaction would be, oh, that's
Ryan's
funny.
Totally joking. Oh, sure. He's kidding. He's totally kidding.
Yeah.
And and that's what I said. I said, okay, yeah, ha ha ha. That's pretty funny. He's like, no, I'm serious. Look at, you know, Broncos had no business being in the playoffs. They don't belong in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then, you know, he continues on with stuff like, well, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to make it really close. And in the end, you know, it's going to be down to one score and Peyton Manning's going to have like a last second thing where he throws the ball and it's caught and they get a touchdown and win the game by 1 point.
So like most conspiracies based on very little actual foundational information.
Correct. Okay. And I said, do you know how many people they'd have to pay off to be able to keep something like that secret?
Like all says, of them?
Well, look at how many football players die under mysterious causes in like car crashes after celebrating in the spring, or like a shootout or something like that.
Did you have a conversation about correlation after that? Like there's zero connection to those two concepts.
I said, let's have another drink.
Let's keep coding your theory in alcohol. That's a good idea.
I love my neighbors.
They're amazing. The stuff that comes out of them is great. And
I'm glad you share it. Nothing but fun.
So when they when he said this, and he means it.
Yeah.
That implies that the Panthers were in on it, right?
Because they'd have to be.
They had to throw the game.
Cam Newton would basically put on this great job of acting, like tantrum throwing baby.
Yeah, like a slow Cam Pan Jim Bob over there, making sure we all knew how sad he was at the moment.
Right, exactly. And just getting up and leaving the media deal and
yeah. Somebody was in this, we were over at a house watching it, and they did that slow pan of him crying. Mm-hmm. Someone in there, I won't say who, but somebody goes, "Oh, that's so sad." And somebody in the room went, "It's on, he's a Bronco." He knew he wasn't a Bronco, but he said, "He's a Bronco."
He's meaning, just really, really happy.
Yeah, and she goes, "Oh, well, that's okay then." It was about the funniest thing I'd heard all night.
Oh, those are happy tears.
Calmed her right down. But anyway, that's a fine theory, I think. But I think he's probably dead wrong. And I'm a huge Packers fan, but I can't hold with that. That seems a little bonkers to me.
It's a little on the crazy side, but you know what? That's fine. That's what makes them them. And yeah. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, not since the Elway years have we seen quite the. It was actually kind of a boring game. A lot of turnovers and a lot of sort of boring inching up the field sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. However, your Denver Broncos walk away champions with big fat rings on their fingers and lots of Budweiser, according to Manning. Mm-hmm. Nice little, I swear that was paid for. It had to be.
That product placement?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to see my children. I'm going to see my wife and kiss her and drink a whole lot of Budweiser tonight.
I need a Papa John's pizza while I shop for Nationwide Insurance.
He was basically doing what what's his name did in that commercial for the with the what was it for TurboTax?
Named
the dog Anthony TurboTax. Hopkins. Yeah, that was the only commercial I laughed at. By the way, the
oh really?
One. Yeah.
Okay, there were. Let's get to that because I see that in the notes.
Yeah,
here.
Let's get to it. So, hooray for Broncos. More importantly, just real quick, people all say they're going to have baby. You know, there's a bunch of Super Bowl babies. What's the deal with that? Is that a Denver thing or is that anywhere?
No, that was a commercial, right? It was like.
I missed this one then.
I couldn't even remember though what the commercial was for. Now that I say that,
very effective.
But it was like a whole thing where they had, singers or kids like choir. Choir style singers singing Seal Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, from that Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. So from each Super Bowl, it would be kids dressed up in that team's gear singing Kiss from Rose. And then they had Seal as part of like the San Francisco 49ers group. And
pretty sure I was in the can when that commercial was on. Something because I missed it. All right, I get the joke. I understand. Everybody in Denver's all going to have sex tonight, and they're all going to have kids.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody, in 9 months. Social services, be ready. That's fine.
Okay.
Let's get to the commercial thing. So
yeah.
Here's my theory about those commercials. While there were a couple of okay ones, and it's a thing people look forward to, right? Mm-hmm. We all want good commercials during the Super Bowl. I came away feeling like at least a third, if not more of them. I'll even say half of them relied on the most common denominator basic humor style that mankind's aware of. Like, for example, hey, you guys, who's singing that Queen song? It's a bunch of sheep. You know why this is funny? Because sheep can't sing normally. So look at all the sheep singing. And when the people come around, they stop singing because sheep wouldn't want the people to know they could sing. But when they leave, they sing again. That's really funny.
Here's what's funny about that. You're 100% nail on the head. That's exactly the commercial where I said, so what's funny about that? It's just sheep singing.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. And it's also, there were others like this. Like anytime there was like a, oh, look, it's Christopher Walken in a walk-in closet talking about shit. Like, it's just, I don't know. The older I get, the more I get pandered to.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's sometimes, especially some of these commercials were just so low bar. Like there was a Budweiser commercial where they were doing all they could do without actually saying. They're basically talking about caucuses like it was, you know the one.
Oh, right, the Seth Rogen, the Amy Seth Rogen
Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Right. And I just walked away from that going, okay, we get it. Penises are freaking funny. And look, I do it on this show all the time, so I get it.
Use the term caucus to describe genitalia.
We have a really big caucus coming up.
It's a riot.
It's just a hoot. And then later they did another one. The Budweiser one did one that was just like a man commercial.
Right. Which is funny because, you know, it used to be the deal with Budweiser where it would be those really sweet Clydesdale commercials, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The king of beers, as they would they would clomp through the snow and be all regal and majestic. And this one this one had horses, but they were like going.
Right, exactly. It's like
guy
none
flicking
of that wussy beer with fruit in it.
Yeah, no flicking it off the top like some kind of douchebag. Like it was like the douche commercial is what it was.
Right.
And without it actually being about a douche. So anyway.
Here's some of the ones I liked. Yeah. And we can kind of talk about our favorites. But the dachshunds, the wiener dogs running towards the ketchup family.
That was all right.
That was okay. Funny.
But again, it's just.
Right. It's like a one joke thing. Like where it's not set up, payoff. It is.
Yeah.
This. Here's the whole joke from the beginning.
My favorite commercial was probably the one where. A white band came out and played for a little bit, and then they had some other sort of ethnic music that overshadowed them.
Was that your favorite commercial?
That was my favorite commercial for Pepsi. Anyway, sorry, keep going. Tell me your other favorites. You got others you probably like.
The Doritos one with the baby, the ultrasound.
Oh, but then they had the one that I hated with the dogs.
Because you didn't like the one with the dogs dressing up?
No, because once again, it's like, oh, dogs like Doritos, do they?
Yes.
Look at the dogs trying to sneak in. Oh, they've been foiled again. What's left to do? Stack on top of each other and pretend they're a person, and no one will know.
I liked that joke the first time I saw it in a Little Rascals short.
Oh, that was totally what that era is from. It's like 1930s vaudeville act. I can't bear with it. I just can't do it. Anyway, all right, keep going.
Hold on. There's a couple of them here. Our outright weirdest commercial was Puppy Monkey Baby.
All right. What was that one? I don't remember. I think I didn't see that.
You don't remember Puppy Monkey? If the words Puppy Monkey Baby don't register anything, then you were in the can for that commercial too.
All right.
It was a Mountain Dew Kickstart commercial where they had a hybrid creature called Puppy Monkey Baby.
Ugh.
That was, I have it on the picture on the... the screen right now.
He's got Mountain Dew, purple Mountain Dew.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Really disturbing thing.
How is it I haven't seen that yet? I don't know why I haven't seen
it. It's all right if you haven't.
All right.
And it's the most it was the most awkward, disturbing thing ever. As far as like weirdest commercial, like what is this doing here kind of thing? It was the one for WeatherTech floor liners. With emotional piano music in the background and a man hugging his kid, like, you know, in slow motion. This is crap you put on the floor of your car so your car doesn't get muddy. And it's like they're treating it like they've just cured AIDS or something.
Yeah. That I always like those because they are weird and out of place. And I like them not because they're good. I like them because they're discordant.
They really are.
Liked the one with Helen Mirren and the beer. Now, here's the only problem I have with that. I think she's awesome, right? She just kills it. And she's also a great example of like someone in Hollywood just growing old very gracefully. And she's just as confident and awesome as she's ever been. Mm-hmm. Here's my only problem.
Okay.
I don't think there's a chance in three hells that she's drinking Budweiser beer ever.
Right. Yeah.
So that's all I could think about was as soon as that commercial's over, she got that away from her face. And said, right. That's it. I'll never do this again. My debt is paid.
Disgusting thing away from me.
That swear that's almost made agent. It. There was almost a drop who made it to my mouth. I'll sue you to the ends of the earth. Yeah, I just couldn't imagine her drinking Budweiser. But that was a funny ad. And it was also a good, like, yeah, literally, PSA. you could make this argument, Brian, and I'm not being hyperbole-ish here. Mm-hmm. I think you could make the argument that she may have actually saved some lives. And I don't mean like immediately right then, but I think these things are broad enough when 150 million people see them that you are possibly getting to at least someone out there who occasionally drinks and drives, who's thinking better of it now and won't do it, therefore limiting the risk of who they're going to run over or run into. Okay. I really do. Why not? I mean, that's the whole point of it, right? Is to stop people from doing it. If you literally stop people from doing it, are you not literally saving some lives, possibly?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, if at least one person thinks about it and says, you know, I would be a selfless waste of human pollution if I were to hop in my Hyundai. And
she really shamed them, man. She really put them in their place, I thought. Yeah. Well, anyway, they were fine. They weren't great. I don't know. I just, every year I'm disappointed with commercials. Maybe I have too high expectations. Mm-hmm. I just want more creativity on display, and I feel like we never get. Well, maybe we never did. Maybe it's always been shit. You know?
No. Because there have been great ones.
Like,
you know, there was
give me one.
The one with the Coke and the Pepsi guy who meet in the diner, and they, you know, they kind of jerks to each other at first, and then a song comes on the jukebox, and they're like, "Oh, hey, here, let me show you pictures of my kids." And then they each take sips of each other's drink, and the Coke guy won't give the Pepsi back, and then so they start fighting.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. That one's all right, but yeah, is it like a Coke and Pepsi can suit or something? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they're drivers. Each their drivers hauling cross country, stopping in this wayside diner, like the one in the second season of Fargo. and smile on your brother. What if that song is?
Come on, get together.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody, get together. That one comes on the jukebox, and they start. To start talking.
Is that a Gordon Lightfoot song?
No, that is.
Everybody.
Is that Buffalo Springfield? No.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I can't remember.
KMFDM. It's KMFDM.
It's Laibach.
Yeah. Well, anyway, good job, Denver, and good job singing Sheep and all other shitty commercials.
Oh, God. The Skittles one with Steven Tyler.
Oh, I missed that one too.
The most uncomfortable and poorly done thing ever.
I missed that one too. I also missed the one where
you actually use the commercial time to go to the bathroom.
Sometimes,
is that what you did?
Because sometimes they'd come on, you just go, "Oh, the sheep are singing. I'm out. I'm gonna go do something else." Or I was talking to somebody or whatever. The kids were over there goofing off and completely bored. The game was boring. Like, say what you want about. I mean, the win was great, and I think it was a hard fought thing. And you know what? They were playing like serious football there, despite what your neighbor thinks. Like that was like. That is textbook, how do you stop this run football on both sides? Both defenses were incredible. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, Denver really shut down the otherwise pretty stellar offense of the Panthers this season.
Right.
But when you do that in a game, it is not flashy. It is a quiet, turnover-based, slow boat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way that goes.
It's
so
just whittling down the other team to kind of like... keep them from scoring.
Yeah, I get excited when
there was a defense game as opposed to an offense game.
Exactly, and if I saw someone throw a yellow flag, I get excited because I thought, ooh, at least this is something, and they'll get a free first down out of this or whatever, and then it would just kind of slow down again. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it wasn't like some crazy, bombastic thing like last year. Last year's was nuts.
Thank you, Stryker Richard. The Youngbloods, yes.
The Youngbloods, what?
Yeah, Get Together. The song is The Youngbloods.
Oh, that's who made the song.
That's the performers. The song is Get Together.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there you have it. Let's call Daryl, and let's do it in a way that people don't expect.
Whoa. Yeah. You're going to call him in a way? Excuse me. Call him in a way people don't expect?
Yes. You all right over there? Yeah, a little burp there? Okay.
A little coffee repeating on me here.
Coffee burp. All right. It looks like Helen Mirren's in our Skype call. This is the best thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about to change.
I absolutely love this. All right, so I'm going to play this, and then y'all just hold on to your butts, and here we go.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Welcome, everybody, to Stump Daryl, brought to you by...
tune in to Camcorder TV for all of our latest work. Enjoy our latest special, Carl, an original short film by our very own J. Austin Duke. Watch as hilarity ensues when Thomas's uncle Carl thinks he's a follower of Karl Marx. Also, enjoy the frighteningly hilarious new episode of Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright. The Count and co-host Ollie the Wiener Dog tell the story of when Ollie and his best friend Kitty went out for a nighttime stroll only to stumble upon a creature most foul in Ollie and Kitty Meet the Monster. Log on to camcordertv.com to watch, listen, and enjoy. Camcorder TV, humble beginnings, big ideas.
So it's a nice short read then.
Well, that's all the time we have today for Stump Daryl. See you next time.
Daryl Skeel's on the line with us. He is formerly the Trek nerd. He's still the Trek nerd, but we've made a little change, and Daryl's been worried about it for like 2 weeks because I haven't told him what we're doing, but it's really not that different than what we already do.
Right.
The change is we're not going to make it Star Trek all the time. Instead, we're going to take the cuddly visage of Daryl Skeel's, and we're going to make him answer questions about trivia from all walks of life.
Right.
All sorts of things. The pressure's on. In
we
fact,
felt like you were getting a little too complacent in Star Trek land.
Just
Daryl.
A wee bit. Just a wee bit. But starting tomorrow, we will also either regularly or on the regular, or maybe even all the time, depending on how it goes. We're going to start bringing a listener in.
That's right.
And they get to be a part of this in a way that you don't exactly expect. So we'll Brian and I know what that's about. So we're going to hold that thought.
Yes.
But
tomorrow,
everyone at
we'll
home,
start that business tomorrow.
Yeah, anyone listening at home, when you listen live, keep our live number handy because I'll give it to you later in the show, but you'll be able to call in and be a part of it. So.
And you'll be able to win prizes.
There could be prizes. Daryl, you're the prize of the moment.
This is frightening.
How was your trip, by the way? You had a long trip to Arizona. You're back now. Everything's fine, right?
Yeah, everything's fine. It took forever to get back here, but I'm back.
Did you drive... Or, yes, you drove
well,
with...
Well, we flew there.
Oh, you flew there. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, to take care of family business and divide up junk and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there, we decided, there's a almost new car here. Yeah. And our car is kind of crappy. Maybe we should take this one.
Wait, was it just a car parked at like a subway?
No.
Or what?
No, it's my mom's old car.
Oh, your mom's old car. Okay, great. And so, but how the will stuff broke out? Didn't somebody have to sit down and go, all right, so and so, you get the car, and so, you get the other thing, or whatever? Or that?
Well,
I
thought it was going to be all official and everything, but it was kind of just who wants what, and we'll talk to the lawyer. And
really, it was just like kind of a grab bag kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of. All and right. If anybody disagreed, then we sort it all out. But everybody was super agreeable.
That seems crazy though that you could. That you got the car. Like, everyone else was like, all right, I want this shawl she knitted. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take her old blender because that thing will last forever. Daryl, what are you doing? I'm taking this car here, this entire automobile with me.
Well, it's split a certain number of ways, and so you get this money to work with, so we have to give up a bunch of money for it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, wow. So it's like,
so
it's
we really
are
buying
make a
it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're kind of buying it. Okay.
Right.
I do like that it sounds like you Grand
you
Theft
trade
Auto.
Your,
that
yeah. What you've got so far
yeah.
for a new car.
I like that you GTA 3'd this car. That's the story that's in my head. It's going to stay that way for a while. Daryl, let's get to your trivia question. It is trivia also performed as always, or performed, created by Iceworm. He's still doing this. All right. Mm-hmm. But it's in a very different category.
One thing we just can't shake from this segment.
This is true. I do have to play this mashup, though, he says. I'm required to. So here all it right. is. You didn't lose that part of this. There you go.
Harry, yeah. Why are you running from your calculus class?
All right, listen.
Get upstairs and get me those detonators.
Maybe you grab your cool batleth and swing that around. It's fine.
Booty, it ends right here. I am an FBI agent.
We are really, really feeling it.
So Raz al-Manahut?
Raz al-Hanut.
Okay, Raz
Not
al-Hanut.
Raz al-Ghul, but...
Okay. Raz al-Hanut.
Raz al-Hanut.
It's kind of about, like, I don't know. I can't remember.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
All right, there you go. I don't... There's no real rhyme to it. It's just sort of there. It just happens. Right. There's nothing you can do about it.
It is pretty random.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, your question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In the Star Wars Episode 3 movie, Revenge of the Sith.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Which, that's the point. Which character is the, what? Is the Erst? Oh, he means first.
First.
You put Erst. Hey, way to go, Iceworm. Very first question on the news week, and you have Erst in there instead of first.
Nice job, homie.
Yeah, good job, Holmes Cheese. All right, Revenge of the Sith character is the first to discover the Chancellor Palpatine is actual Sith Lord. So who was the first to figure this out? Because remember, he's just old man Palpatine, and then he became Sith Lord Darth Sidious man. Oh, there you go, Brian. I like this.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. B. Mace Windu. Mother effer. C. Anakin Skywalker or D. Yoda. So it is Obi-Wan Kenobi, Mace Windu, Anakin Skywalker, or Yoda. Those are your options. I want you to think about those, Daryl, while we do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
You thought it was going to be all weird, but it's not. We got to eat more Norwegian, whatever this
chocolates.
Is. Chocolate. Thank you.
I can't wait for this, too.
Yeah. So, Daryl, since you just...
I still have, by the way, 2/3 of that chocolate bar left that that we had a week and a half ago when... Daryl was last here.
Oh, my gosh. I think I was done within 2 days. I ate all of it like a pig. So I've got Topris, QB. I've got Hobby, Mandel, which is won't touch anything unless you wash your hands first, and Kvik Lunskik. So which one do you want to pick there, Daryl? You pick, since you just drove forever.
Oh, I don't know. Not Hobby. That sounds way too normal.
All right.
I like the hand washer one.
The hand washer Mandel? One.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's bald and...
What I like about the Kvitch one is when I hold it up, it green screens.
Right.
Because of the green on it. Yeah. That's cool.
And big thanks again, by the way, to Sigborn Eikness for sending this all out to us. Just as kind of a little warning, Mandelstang is an almond fondant covered in chocolate and, you guessed it, almonds.
So what's the middle bit? The fondant part? What's a fondant?
I think it's also almonds in the middle.
It looks like nougat or coconut.
Where are you seeing a picture? I only see...
No, I just opened it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Open the case.
Yeah. See that, everybody?
My favorite thing about this is it does not anywhere on the wrapper say may contain nuts.
Right.
I think it's implied. Well, that's not bad. I like that. Ooh. I really
totally
like that.
Nougat inside.
Ooh, it's white and weird in there.
Yeah, but it's good.
No, it's, you know what that is. That's marzipan inside.
That's what people say about Colorado Springs. It's white and weird in there. this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, got me on that one, Norwegia.
Mm-hmm.
Norwegian blue.
Mm,
that's fantastic.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
I'll have that done before the first song.
We still ahead on our, I think we're ahead on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have won everything when it comes to Norwegian chocolate thus far. All right, we'll try more tomorrow. We got 3 more to choose from. It's been good. It's been hard to hold on to those while Daryl was gone, but I'm glad we did. Daryl, what do you think?
Oh, that was good, yeah.
Yeah, real good.
I'm with you.
All right, well, while you're still with us, let's get back to your question. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Mace Windu, Anakin Skywalker, Yoda. Who's the dude? Who's the man? Oh, by the way, people, if there's a story or a reason for us to talk about Star Trek, we can still do that. But 5 years of nothing but Star Trek trivia, it's time to just broaden our horizons a little bit.
Right.
That's all.
That
We're
one
ready
guy
for a
complained.
Question that isn't Data, Worf, Crusher.
Yeah, I wish it was more than one. I wish it was only one guy. We got a lot of guys. But it wasn't because of them anyway. Even Brian and I were like, yeah, let's change it up. Let's squeeze this lemon, see what else we got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one part we never change is we like the Daryl part and we like the us sitting around talking and bullshit part.
Right.
Exactly. So we're just enhancing it.
And
enhancing
eating food.
It. Yeah, and eating food. We like that. All right, Daryl, go ahead. What do you think?
So what's the question about these guys?
One of these guys outed Chancellor Palpatine as Sith Lord.
Well, hold on. Not outed him.
Well, discovered that he
but
was.
But was the first to discover that he was...
yeah, that's a good point.
Emperor Palpatine.
He was still in the closet at this point. So it's
I am not ready to come out.
Please come out of the closet, Chancellor Palpatine.
I'm not ready.
Obi-Wan, Mace, Anakin, Yoda. Yoda's the only person on this list with no last name. is weird.
Let's see. What did I say? How long should I stall for before I get it wrong?
No, no. I'm very happy to hear your terrible attitude moving forward of these questions.
I detect you're that guy. I don't think he would say that.
Nope.
It's not Yoda. Anakin. Well, he would be becoming good with the Force, so maybe it's him.
Good with it.
Good with the Force. Could he read minds with the Force?
Good with the Force you would become.
Pretty good with it.
Instead of marginally okay, you were.
Average with the Force he is.
And they never spoke in those kind of terms, did they?
No.
You are mediocre with the Force thus far.
That's too bad. Thus far you are.
I'm not sure that this was a good change for the show.
All right, well, you've seen the movie, right? Let's start there.
Yeah. Which movie?
It's the Revenge of the Sith, the third one.
The mm-hmm. third, the bad, one of the bad ones.
Yeah, the better of the bad ones.
The better of the bad ones, right.
Sure.
Okay.
But that's not saying much. It's like
somebody discovers that Emperor Palpatine is the Emperor. They discover that Palpatine is the Emperor.
Yeah, look, in a bag of cat turds, this was the least offensive cat turd in there.
It was, yeah.
God, Sidious.
I kind of blacked out during all three of these from intense badness. But yeah. Okay. I guess I have to say something. I'll say Anakin, and you can see, and I'll discover if you have the same shocker guy for the wrong answer or if
well,
it's something else.
Or will you? Because maybe you're right. I don't know. Let's find out from the judges. Judges?
Congratulations.
You got it right.
You're a winner.
You totally guessed properly. I assume you guessed. Anakin Skywalker. Palpatine tells Anakin that the dark side is the only way to save Padme from death. Anakin draws his lightsaber, does not kill Palpatine. This is a clip of that segment. Now, I would like to place a bet. I haven't heard it yet. What are the chances that Mike does an impression of Palpatine?
Jeez, what are the odds indeed?
It I'd feels say strong. Feels 50 to 60% to me.
Yeah, you think? I'm saying 80.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Here we go.
Are you going to kill me?
I would certainly like to.
I know you would. I can feel your anger. It gives you focus.
What?
Makes you stronger.
I can feel your anger.
He did it!
It gives you focus. Makes you stronger.
Oh my gosh.
Also, extra points for Brian.
His volume's a little low. Yeah, 80%. I should have gone with Brian. You know how to bet. What am I talking about?
Yeah, come on now.
You in Vegas. There you go, Daryl. Man, I've got to stop eating this chocolate. Damn it. It's really good. Daryl, listen, is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there, at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, we're not doing this thing where you ask us a thing at the end.
Ooh.
And the reason is I want to talk to you about them before you do, because I have an idea.
Okay.
Not that we want to get rid of them permanently, but for today, no.
So all right, now so just,
now you just get the hell out of here.
Now I just go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember that? Those are the good old days. Yeah. All right. Let me kill this thing. Here we go. Remove from the group. All right. Brian?
Yes, sir.
You know what time it is, don't you?
I do.
It's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
The Boop Show at its new time live at frogpants.com/live. Today at noon Mountain Time. Your live calls, too. That's frogpants.com/live for The Boop Show.
Yeah, and you at home want to see awesome. A quick flash of the, here's the backdrop for later. Except I got to get that wrinkle out of there. But anyway, there it is for later, folks.
Nice.
Put that down, yeah. Okay.
Okay, now business at hand.
Now,
sir.
Yeah, now to the hard, to the serious stuff. Not really. Hail Caesar. Mm-hmm. This is the new Coen Brothers film. That's it right. Did not do well this weekend. Did Aww. Rather poorly, actually. Ethan and Joel Coen's Hail Caesar grossed an underwhelming $11.4 million from 2,200-plus theaters. 2,222, to be exact, over Super Bowl weekend. The lowest wide opening of the duo's directing career. They've never had a movie come out with that low of a take. And that surprised me because I would have thought The Jewish Man. What was it called? Jewish Man.
A Patient Man?
A Patient Man? Was that what it's called?
What was it?
A patient Jewish man. The Jewish man of patience, Colorado. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I would have thought that would have been it because that was more like this quiet, you know, nobody, it's not very mainstream. But this had, you know, some decent lead up and I was excited. It didn't make very much money and also it's not doing great with audiences. It's a kind of average, like C plus, C minus, something like that.
Yeah.
The news was even more grim for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. That movie only earned $5.2 million from more theaters, putting it behind Nicholas Sparks' film adaptation, The Choice. What's The Choice?
I don't know. I don't think I've even heard of that.
Haven't heard of that either. And he says it's the lowest opening for Sparks. Who's Nicholas Sparks? Why
Nicholas
is this
Sparks, a writer that's done like, I want to say The Notebook was his. What else?
Oh. I mean, oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a great movie. I've never sat through entirely. Have you seen The Whole Notebook?
No, I've never even seen part of The Notebook. Yeah. Walk to Remember was his.
Did he do the
Longest Ride?
The Stuff in Our Stars or whatever, the Cancer Girl one?
Message in a Bottle. No, that was... Oh, shoot. I was just looking at a whole row of his books at a bookstore this weekend. And it was like, he did Fault in Our Stars. He did the...
The Horse's Caboose. Frederick's Time.
Yeah.
Box of Chocolate.
I'm Googling. I'm going to Google it. Yeah, John Green. There we go.
Phillips Carr. John Green. Oh, that's it.
John Green.
Yep,
easy name to forget, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this movie did, well, it says right here, C- on cinema score from audiences, came in behind number two's Kung Fu Panda 3, which easily topped the North American box office chart in its second outing. The animated film grossed $21 million for a domestic accumulation of 69.5. And in China, the movie crossed the $100 million mark. Goodness gracious,
wow.
China. You must like the pandas there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, they're into the whole panda business.
Because
sure.
The interview you did on FilmSec was fantastic with those guys.
They were great.
They were really good, yeah.
Super cool guys.
John and Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember those two names.
Mm-hmm. His last name was hard. It was like a Mai or a May or something. I couldn't do it right, as one might expect. What else? Google is making a VR headset just when you thought it least possible.
Really?
Well, here's the deal. They have been...
Not that impossible.
They have... No, not at all. That's a funny bit. But they've been odd about it. So when they came out with Cardboard, they're like, yeah, here's our fun little goofy thing. It's not really serious, but hey, go for it, whatever. And they weren't really getting into full VR mode. And a lot of people questioned that. They're like, whoa, you should be trying to lead in this space. And hey, Apple, how about you too? And hey, everyone else, how about you? And we've sort of been waiting around for Google to make an announcement or say something. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like, at least secretly, none of this is confirmed, but it looks like behind the scenes they are actually working on their own headset, and it's got nothing to do with Cardboard. The web giant is planning on releasing a new VR headset later this year. Boy, it's heating up fast, isn't it, this thing?
Yeah. We're going to get like four all at the same time, and then it's going to be... The war is on which one gets the better games or which one gets the better software.
There was a false, I want to say, it may have been, I was trying to find some verification on this, but there was some rumors floating around that PlayStation had leaked their price and it was only $299. And that's,
oh, really?
That's crazy low, dude.
That is crazy low. That's like pre-order it right now price.
That's a, hey, buy a PS4 and that for less money than the Oculus did total.
Right.
Think of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, they say that they'll be doing this. This will be the successor to Cardboard, which is funny. It's supposedly going to be a new smartphone-based handset thing. So it's not going to be... It's a lot more... It's like the Samsung one. What's that called? Samsung... Shit.
Vive? No, that's a different one.
That's Vive. That's
It's Vive. I thought somebody said it was Vive.
Everyone keeps saying it wrong. I think it's okay. Vive. I can't remember now. But who's the... What am I trying... Samsung... Not Gear. Samsung... Light Gear. Head face, man.
I don't know.
It's Monday. I can't think of what they call that. Sam, they'll tell us in the thing. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Anyway, this would further... many believe show that there is a huge future in VR, and I'm actually pretty convinced that good solid phone based portable VR is actually going to be the big leader here. mm-hmm. that and
because
PlayStation.
It's easy to get into.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Cheaper to get into, easier to get into, no big cords hanging around, don't have to buy a $1,500 PC to make it work, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
HTC is not, their pre-order is starting in a couple of weeks, so watch for that.
Wow.
Microsoft's HoloLens, meanwhile, is aimed at an augmented reality. I once again feel like Microsoft may be in the wrong boat again. This feels like Kinect. It's like, in a way, they're innovative. They're like, you know what? All this motion control, like with the Wii and the Move.
Oh, this is right. This is the thing they demonstrated with Minecraft.
But it's augmented reality, which is cool and fine. Mm-hmm. But they seem to be putting all their potatoes in that basket
mm-hmm.
when really, like they did with the Kinect, when really what they ought to probably do is stop doing that and get a really good VR competitor out there, because this is heating up real quick and no one's going to give a shit if you don't hurry up, because you already got three major competitors. But maybe, I don't know, maybe the augmented reality thing, what's it called? I already forgot.
The Microsoft HoloLens?
HoloLens. Maybe that thing's so awesome where our minds are going to be blown and we won't care. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And don't forget, Facebook is Oculus Rift now. They own them.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that that's all one deal.
So your big web companies are the ones doing this, and mm-hmm. Microsoft needs to get in there. So does Apple. And they supposedly are working on some secrety thing, too. Oh, did you see
how they can stop working on the car for 5 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you see how in trouble they got? Not in trouble, but how much crap, how mean people were to Tim Cook yesterday?
No.
So he took his phone out at the Super Bowl. He was there. You might imagine that Tim Cook is one of those kind of guys that might be able to get tickets to the
Super
Bowl.
Might actually have the ability to.
Right. He can get in there. So he took a picture, and it was at the end during all the confetti and the freaking out and everything. And it's blurry because he was moving all over the place. And he posted it on Twitter. And he took so much shit for that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, nice blurry photo. Is that the new camera we can expect from the 7?
You should use that in a... maybe you should have taken that with an Android.
Yeah, why do people do that? Like, he's just like you jackasses. Sometimes you take blurry, shitty pictures, too. Be nice to him. He's a nice guy.
Exactly.
With a lot of money.
Well, it's an easy target.
Yeah. He's my favorite gay man. Of all the gay men I know, right?
Really?
I admire in public.
I'm a fan of Neil.
Yeah, Neil's all right. You know who else I like?
He's my favorite gay man.
My favorite gay man is this guy. His name was, it's been so long now, and he's actually passed away. He had AIDS. I can't think of his name now. Oh, that's how much I liked him. Anyway, the guy I knew in real life.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Dale was his name, Dale. I can't remember names today at all. Seriously, to save my life. I smell toast.
They say that's the first sign.
That's the first sign, son. Anyway, Dale's this guy I worked with at this printer, and he was the guy who was in charge of the press, like the actual ink press.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that I've ever known a nicer human being. He was the most generous, nicest guy I ever knew, and I'm sad that he died.
Sorry to hear that.
Let's bring it down a notch there. Let's move on.
Jeez.
How about this one?
All right.
A drunk mother forces 9-year-old daughter to drive a truck with infant inside, say police. A 911 caller reported that a pickup truck, of course it was a pickup truck.
Also had a 9-year-old inside. Why did they
Why
did they talk about that?
Good point. Had been spotted driving erratically in rural Wisconsin.
Okay.
True Wisconsinites.
Right.
Nice image.
Eat your cheese and drive the truck.
It says it didn't take long for police in Polk County, Wisconsin to track down the vehicle at a public boat launch, according to Fox affiliate KMSP. KMFDM. when Deputy Chief Jeff Hahn looked at the pickup, he was shocked what he saw. A little girl behind the wheel and an 11-month-old baby strapped in a car seat. Also in the car, police say, was the children's intoxicated mother, Amanda Eggert, and her equally intoxicated boyfriend, Jason Roth, according to KMSP. Roth, go ahead.
So basically, Helen Mirren, tells these people, don't drink and drive. It's much better to have your 9-year-old drive.
Have your infant and your toddler do it. I'm trying to read this. Okay, as the 9-year-old exited the truck, I ate more chocolate. I got to stop. It was still running and in drive with when Mr. Roth was sitting in the truck by himself. Hahn testified in court. He turned the ignition off and the truck began rolling backward down the hill towards her. I jumped into the truck and hit the brakes and put the truck in park. Well, good job, Officer Hahn. Well done, dude.
When she gets a little older, she can drive for puber.
Yeah, puber. Oh my gosh, dude, there's a cartoon in that. Has anyone made that joke before? We got to use that. That's really funny. I got to write that down. Puber. I'm going to have an 11-year-old hailing a cab called Puber. Finally, Jennifer in Slack sent us this story.
This car sounds funny.
What sounds wrong with this ignition? I don't know what's going on. Jennifer in the Slack sent us this story. A woman crashed her own funeral after her husband thought he had her successfully killed by a hitman.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Wow. Straight out of like the movies,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. This is Nola Rucundo. Rucundo? Anyway.
Rucundo.
She's effectively a ghost, or at least that's what her husband, Belenga Kalala.
That is the best name ever. Belenga Kalala.
That's pretty good. Though when she arrived at her own funeral, she had been told she was murdered by the Burundi man. Oh, wait. After he'd been told she was murdered by the Burundi man hitman, they'd hired Burundian. A
Burundi man hitman.
Burundian hitmen that he had hired to kill her last February, so last year. How can that be? Why are we only doing this a year later?
Funerals are really hard to book.
I guess so. Weird.
Yeah.
5 days later, Rucundo, the Burundi-born Australian woman, was kidnapped from her Burundi hotel, Burumbura Hotel.
Humbura.
Can't read this shit.
Jumbura.
She returned to her native country for the funeral by a group of gunmen. What? Oh, okay. I don't know why they inserted that.
She went back to Australia for a different funeral.
Not for her funeral,
funeral.
It's very confusing. By a group of gunmen and taken to a building where she was tied to a chair, yelled at, and slapped.
Oh.
I know. As Rucundo told the BBC, quote...
Those are the hitmen who take it literally.
They asked me, why did you do this, man? I shouldn't do Australian accent for her. I don't know what accent she has. Why has this man asked us to kill you? And then I tell them, which man? Because I don't have any problem with anyone. And they said, your husband. And I say, my husband can't kill me. You are lying. And they slap me. After the boss says, you are very stupid. You are a fool. Let me call who has paid us to kill you. Rucundo's kidnappers call her husband on speakerphone, and she heard him confirm the worst of the belief. Cold kill her. What?
Okay.
Heard him worst with a brief cold kill her.
Kill her.
Brief cold kill her.
Yeah,
it sounds like a weird beer I need to go get out of the fridge for somebody.
No, basically they call him on speakerphone and says, why do you want to kill your wife?
Kill her.
Kill her. I heard his voice. I heard him. I feel like my head was going to blow up, she recounted. Then she described for him where they were going to chuck the body.
Chuck. That's some like broken English all the way up until that point. Then they described for him where they were going to chuck the body.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's a real mixed bunch of language in this that's both, like, the reporters and then the lady and then the dudes, and it's really throwing me off. But she's safe. She didn't die. Nice image you used there. Hey, guys. This episode of the show brought to you by Casper.com. Casper.com, I own one of their mattresses. And how did I get it? Well, they sent it to me and they said, look, you've got 100 days to try this thing out. And I went, what? Are you freaking serious? And they said, yes, 100 days. If you don't like it, you can send it back. I said, well, tell me about these things. And they said, well, they're obsessively engineered products at a very fair price. Latex and memory foam, they come together for a better night's sleep and brighter days. I said, really? I could use those. They said, yes. It's one of the most comfortable mattresses I've ever sat on or laid on or slept on. And I love it. I tried it out. It's so comfortable. You can buy it online easily. It's totally risk-free. 100-day period. Did I mention that? 100 days. Send it back if you don't like it. It's that simple. Zero risk. Not a problem. And then, when you decide to get one, and I know you will because I did, you can get like a $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. Do you know how cheap that is compared to going to like some showroom somewhere? You do if you've looked. It's insane. So I want to recommend you guys go check them out. And see what you think. That's Casper.com. How about I save you an extra $50? I'm happy to do that. Go to Casper.com/morningstream and then check out with the code morningstream for $50 additional off your purchase at Casper.com. Thanks, Casper.
All right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for major spoilers. After that, V for video game. She's back from a whirlwind skiing trip. I'm very curious to ask her how that went.
Oh, cool.
A couple of phone calls a little bit after that. Before all of that, though, we like to bring music, and Brian brings it to the yard, and the boys are like, hey, I'll have to charge. So what do you got?
Wow, it's better than yours. Yeah. Jared wrote in, said, hi, guys. On February 8th, I will log yet another trip around the great ball of nuclear fission of the heliocentric sector of our galaxy. I have enjoyed 10 of those years listening to Scott Johnson podcasts and would like to congratulate the two of you on 5 years of TMS. In that time, I found a thrill listening to songs about fast food chicken sandwiches.
Oh, damn it. He's so fast. The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch. Usually I can see these things coming from a mile away, but that was
Then I came to my senses and remembered how I once was in love with catchy, geek-fueled music by the likes of Jonathan Coulton. Specifically, Read Your Brains, Code Monkey were two of my favorites by him. I would love to discover a new band that also loves his folk music style. Would you play a cover of any of his songs to help my search? If not, any clever and geeky song will do. Love the show, though. Jared.
Nice.
Well, sure. And those happen to be two that are covered the most, right? Read Your Brains, actually, Still Alive is the one I think that I've got the most covers of. Mm-hmm. That one seems to come up more than any other one. Mm-hmm. But I decided to go with maybe a lesser, well, certainly not a lesser known song. We all know Jonathan Coulton's music pretty well, but one that isn't covered very often. This one was from the I Fight Dragons Super Secret Exclusives from the summer of 2009. Here are I Fight Dragons and their cover of Jonathan Coulton's The Future Soon.
Last week I left a note on Laura's desk. It said, I love you, signed anonymous friend. Turns out she's smarter than I thought she was. She knows I wrote it, now the whole class does too. And I am all alone during couples skate. When she skates by with some guy on her arm. But I know that I'll forget the look of pity on her face when I'm living in my solar dome on a platform in space. Cause it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon, I've never seen it quite so clear. And when my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here. I'll probably be some kind of scientist, building inventions in my space lab in space. I'll end world hunger, I'll make dolphins speak. Work through the daytime, spend my nights and weekends perfecting my warrior robot race. Building them one laser gun at a time. And I'll do my best to teach them about life and what it's worth. I just hope that I can keep them from destroying. Cause it's gonna be the future soon, I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon, I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here on Earth. They'll wonder as I piece by piece replace myself. The steel and the circuits will make me whole, but I still feel so alone. So Laura calls me home. I'll see her standing by the monorail. She'll look the same except for bionic eyes. She lost the real ones in the robot wars. I'll say I'm sorry, she'll say it's not your fault. or is it? She'll eye me suspiciously. Hearing the whir of the servos inside. And she'll scream and try to run, but there'll be no place to hide when a crazy cyborg wants to make you his robot bride. Cause it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. But when my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here.
You got the moves. I'll give you that.
Don't mess with me, dude.
This is the Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
And we're back. We're back. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello, Scott.
How's it going?
You know, it's going all right. It's,
yeah.
It's okay. It's yeah. good.
Yeah. We're yeah. dinking around with camera stuff there for a minute. That was pretty fun.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, got y'all behind me there. That was weird. Game of the Creeps, so I put you back.
Was a little on the strange side.
Yeah, so I figured.
But hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get Schleicher in here.
All right.
Let's see what That's he's got
thing,
going
since
on.
Since I've got a photo of him up in the thing.
Yeah, I see a little circly camera thing trying to work, and I hear this is coming right up. Steven Schleicher, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth on the line.
Wow.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, but a little late, lately.
Really gets around. Hey, yeah. Do you also, when the Kansas City Chiefs don't win anything, do you also have to root for Denver? Is that the deal?
I think I've talked about this before, but like Hayes is right on like the border between Broncos territory and Chiefs territory. Mm-hmm. So yesterday going over to the Walmart was just loaded up with Denver stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the neighbors that live behind us are huge Broncos fans. So 10 o'clock at night or whenever the game ended, they're shooting off fireworks while my young ones were trying to go to sleep. So, yay, Denver fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I bet you had your fair share there, just given proximity to the state and everything. But.
Yep.
Are you? But you're not even really much of a Super Bowl guy. In fact, I like to follow you on Super Bowls because you say a bunch of things online that are different than what I'm usually hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I didn't get to watch very much football this year. So
you were the first one to ever put me onto the idea that it was spelled Superb Owl. That was a.
You don't want to get sued by anybody. Come on.
No, you don't want to get sued. Well, right. I talked to Tom about that. According to Tom, it doesn't actually work that way, or something. There's some deal where you can write it all you want.
Oh, I know.
But
oh, really? The lawyers don't freak out?
Let's perpetuate the myth.
Yeah,
the whole feeling is that the lawyers just are going to freak out if you say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Write or promote or whatever.
I'm going to just find out.
Or if you say, hey, everybody, I'm having a Superb Owl party at my house, mm-hmm. then the lawyers will come out of everywhere saying, are you properly charging these people and giving us your cut?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, aside from all of that and all the babies that will come from this, let's talk about The Flash. The Flash and Supergirl are going to do a crossover,
yes.
And I was really surprised to hear about this because I thought these were two networks that weren't owned by each other, but I think now that I look at it, I guess
CBS
they are.
CBS and the CW are totally owned by each other. That's where the C and the W comes from.
Yeah,
CBS and Warner Brothers own CW in a joint venture, and then CBS is its own thing, although I think Time Warner or Warner still has a foothold in there.
Yeah. Do you think you don't think we'd ever see this kind of thing with Gotham, though, right? Like they're not going to...
Oh, no, not at all.
But, you know, it's not just the fact that they're same network. It's also Greg Berlanti. Like, he's...
Yeah, that's the main thing. Greg Berlanti Productions produces both, all four of the DC-related comic shows on CW and CBS. And ever since it was announced Berlanti would be doing Supergirl, fans and reporters have been asking, so do you think there's going to be a crossover? And the first reaction was no, because we don't know how far into the back half of the season we're going to get. And then it was maybe if we get a full back half season, then we'll do it. And then it was, well, we're talking about it. And now finally they came out and announced on March 28th, Grant Gustin, who plays The Flash on The Flash, will appear in Supergirl.
Okay, so it's that direction. I was wondering which way they were going to go.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times when we see the crossovers happen on the CW shows, you've got like a two-night event, a Green Arrow and Flash crossover, or with, in the case of DC's Legends of Tomorrow, they had a big kind of storyline that ran through all of the characters. This time it's a one-way street, so there's could be a couple of things going on. Number one, this takes place on an alternate Earth, and since Barry is running through different worlds right now, or at least starting this week, that could be part of it. Number two, The Flash is like the biggest show on the CW and is nailing all the demographics that Supergirl wants.
Yeah.
So perhaps they're using that to boost Supergirl's ratings, although Supergirl, I think, is the network's sixth highest show this season.
Wow.
Really? So
that was the other thing.
I need the help.
That was the other thing I was going to ask you, is how is that show doing? I've yet to see an episode. I keep hearing that it's great, but I haven't. I just didn't seem like a thing that was going to work. Like, I don't know why. I just thought, this is network TV. We don't really let things like this breathe. We cancel them before it's too late or whatever. And, you know, we've seen what happened to previous efforts to bring Wonder Woman to the small screen and stuff like that. So I guess I held out very little hope. And I thought, well, if we even get a season out of it, I'll catch it on Netflix sometime.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's got more legs than that.
It is a very good show. It's not a great show. It has a lot of flaws, especially with some of the casting that they've done. But overall, it's staying true to a lot of the Superman and Supergirl mythos that we see in the comic books, introducing some very cool characters and really expanding the universe. I mean, we've seen Red Tornado on there. Martian Manhunter is on there. A lot of great villains have popped up in the show. Even Superman has made a few appearances in the show.
Isn't Red Tornado a robot?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him in the Young Justice.
Yep.
And he looked like Iron Man, but with an arrow on his chest.
Oh, let's just say that one of the biggest problems with that episode was the costume that they put, that they did with the Red Tornado, was it looked like really bad cosplay.
Really?
Oh, no.
No, it was really bad. You looked at it, and it's like, it looks like they just stuck styrofoam on his arm.
What's the other one that just came out that's a team one that is...
That's DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
I keep hearing it's a hot mess.
It is and it isn't.
It's so early,
They're only three episodes in, but they are way over budget because of the effects and everything that's going on. I think typically The Flash has about a $3 million budget, and I think they're double that for DC Legends of Tomorrow. So there's a lot of talk on whether that show will even be picked up for next season or not.
That's expensive.
It's expensive.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you've got a Time Lord who's a Time Master who's traveling through time in a spaceship with a bunch of companions. I mean...
Nice.
Yeah.
Look, we know how Hollywood butters their bread. They repeat. They rinse and repeat. It's how they do things. Right.
Well, here's the fun thing for comic book nerds. So 3 to 4 times a year, there is a fifth week that happens in a month. So March just happens to be has a fifth week in it. And in comic books, used to be back in the mid-'80s through about the mid-'90s, a fifth week was the time when the publishers would do some kind of crazy stunt. Either having, you know, like apes take over the DC universe for all the issues that came out this week, or some crazy variant cover or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, the Flash crossover with Supergirl happens on March 28th, the beginning of a fifth week in March. Oh. So if comic book nerds are looking for yet another tie to the television universe, the fifth week event is certainly happening.
Yeah, it sounds like it is.
Next month on Supergirl. The bad thing is it's not a two-way street. That's the thing I'm upset about, is that Supergirl is not coming to the CW.
Right.
It's just the one-way trip.
They used to do this thing on that Homicide, Life in the Streets, and one of the Law and
Homicide,
Orders.
Homicide, yeah.
And they would cross those two shows over, and they would swap, so they'd have a whole episode of Homicide, which is set in Baltimore, and they would have all these guys from SVU or whatever up there hanging out. In fact, that's how they ended up getting Richard Belzer, because his character literally started on Homicide, Life on the Streets, and then ended up working in New York for the SVU team.
Right.
So that's some really interesting stuff, and I remember seeing that going, this is cool. And then they came back later and did a Law and Order episode where they were all over there hanging out as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised.
Same network there, though.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, I guess
Know. I don't know of any show, and maybe listeners will know, but I don't know of any show that has crossed networks like this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's a bit like, it's a little like Marvel and DC doing a crossover.
I mean, do you count stuff like Lou Grant, where, or Trapper John MD, where the character went to a different show played by somebody else. Well, yeah, Lou Grant was.
No, but it's all,
the same
but it's all the same network, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't Mary Tyler Moore and Lou Grant both on CBS?
I think
for
so.
For some reason, I'm thinking Trapper. Was Trapper John on CBS? Maybe it was. Maybe
I don't remember. Yeah,
I think they try to keep it all within their, you know, within their network family.
In their Trapper John universe.
Trapper John keeper.
Trapper Johniverse.
Yeah, the Johniverse. Can't mess around with that. Well, in the case of Lou Grant, see, now that's an interesting thing. I was talking to my kids the other day where I'm making them watch old TV. Not making mm-hmm. them, but introducing them to old stuff. They love, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show. They love the Mayberry thing. Can't think of what it's mm-hmm. called all of a sudden. What's that
Andy
called?
Griffith Show.
Andy Griffith Show. Jeez, Scott. I can't think of anything today. Who are you again, Steven? Anyway, they started watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which is streaming on Hulu, and I was explaining who Lou Grant was, and I said, well, he's the voice of the old man in Up, and that's how you guys know him. Oh, that's cool. And then they got all excited about it. And I said, and later, this character, which is Jokey Joke Comedy Man, goes on to do a spinoff named after his character that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
How right. weird. No one does that anymore. Like, explain to me another example of that. You can't count Frasier. That was a comedy to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all stay in their genre. Even the stupid ones like Enos was at least still kind of Dukes of Hazzard-y Enos.
Yeah.
But this, I've never heard of anybody doing what that Lou Grant show did.
Right. So here's a couple examples that folks have come up with. Ally McBeal and Boston Legal did a crossover. One was Fox. The other one was... Yeah. NBC, and Constantine made an appearance in Arrow.
But only after Constantine after show was, got canceled. Was canceled on
yeah.
NBC.
Well, so yeah, there's that.
I don't know. That may be a little different.
There's that little pumpernickel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all good news for fans of either of those shows. You're getting a little crossover. That's good times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Ghostbusters and the newest Lego stuff. Is this another case where the Legos Ghostbuster gives away a bunch of stuff about the movie? No.
The thing is, I think when you look at those sets in hindsight, a lot of times there's enough of a tease to where you think that, ooh, this is going to happen in the movie, but most of the time it does not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the new Ghostbusters movie, all female led cast, there is a current Ghostbusters sets out there. There's an Ecto-1 that's out there from Lego Ideas that had the original four Ghostbusters in it. The new Lego Firehouse headquarters, which is now up on our YouTube channel. 20 hours to build that, Brian. It's got 1,200 more pieces than the helicarrier.
Really? And that thing is gorgeous, though, with like all the different rooms. You get the pool table. Is there a toaster that bounces around when you put red goo in it?
No, but there's a toaster there. But
okay. But so it's more Ghostbusters 1 than Ghostbusters 2.
I don't know, because I don't remember enough about Ghostbusters 2, because there are some weird elements in the set that make me think that, oh, they're borrowing not only from Ghostbusters 2, but also maybe the TV show in places.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. So it's really interesting. But new movies coming out, which means new Lego sets can be built, and so we've got an Ecto-1 and an Ecto-2, updated versions of the play sets or the cars from the movie, with all female minifigures, except for Kevin, the Janine of this movie.
Yeah.
it looks really cool. It looks the Ecto-1 looks to be about the same length as the current Ecto-1 from Lego Ideas, which may be problematic for people who are looking to buy that firehouse set, because the Ecto-1 does not fit in the firehouse unless you want to run over, you know, half of the play area.
Just break out a few bricks it'll fit.
That's what needs to happen.
They can't always be to scale, right? I mean,
no, they can't. No. Well, the nice thing about this Ecto-1 is it may be a little bit wider, because in the current Ecto-1, you can't have the characters sitting side by side very easily. This one, all four of them fit in the vehicle at the same time.
All across the front seat?
No, I think it's two in the back. Oh, okay. And then you've got space in the back for your proton packs and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. One of the photos that I saw looked like it had all four of them across the front seat.
No. The other thing that's really cool, and again, this is if you're a Lego nerd fan kind of thing, all of the sculpts for the hair are brand new. Which is really neat. So they've kind of mirrored the hairstyles from the movie into these minifigures, which is rather interesting. I was looking at the original Lego Ideas Ecto-1 set, and the hairstyle for Winston was very much the Lando hairpiece that they used for the Star Wars set. But then in the new headquarters set, he's got a brand new hairstyle on that too. So they're trying to change things up a little bit and give people a reason to go out and spend $50 for this.
Right. Hair.
Yeah. Yep. What would Lando say?
You get a new Kristen wig.
Nice.
That's a sad trombone.
That was a little bit of a dad joke. Yes.
All right. Okay. Now, speaking of the all-female cast Ghostbusters. I have to read something that I just need to get off my chest. You guys want to hear this?
Yeah. Sure.
This is a comment.
Is it going to make me
sad? It might a little. This is a comment from a male observer who just saw the most recent photos that have been released from the film and the set. Okay? He says this. There is nothing but a hijacking of major franchise by feminists and manginas trying to prove to the world that women don't need men to be funny and can carry a franchise on their own, which is bull. It's just another display of female superiority that they can get away with if they just nag and bitch loudly enough and yell patriarchy at the top of their voice. I think he means lungs. If they truly wanted to prove any of that, then they should have created something of their own and not stolen our beloved franchise from a typical male or with typical male humor and ruin it. Why can't feminists let men have something that's theirs? This is where it gets good.
Why can't we have our own thing?
As soon as men make something they have that they have and want, they have to keep it to themselves or women will just have to force their way into it. Like gentlemen's clubs, video games, and other things. Hell, a little boy with a clubhouse that has a sign that reads "No girls allowed" will undoubtedly always attract the female in the neighborhood just so they can force their way in and take it from him. And that is exactly what has happened with the Ghostbusters franchise, and it will bomb because of it.
Man, I hope he doesn't watch ABC's Agent Carter.
Yeah, right.
He's probably, well, I don't know.
Angry.
I just see his clubhouse with the He-Man Woman Haters Club sign on it.
Angry male tears are very salty.
Actually, I forget which website it is, but just recently they had to share a post this weekend that said, look, every time we post about the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, we get a stream of hate messages just like this one that you've read.
Yeah.
And so they've either highly scrutinizing all comments anytime they post to Ghostbusters, or they've turned off comments for their Ghostbusters stories because of this hate that's flooding in.
Well, it's the right thing to do. You're all jackasses, and y'all should knock it off and let the movie just be whatever the hell it's going
to
be.
Let it be what it wants to be.
Let it be good. Let it be shit. Let it be what it's going to be, and quit acting like you got some weird freaking moral imperative, you anuses. I realize I'm giving airtime to, like, internet shouters who are probably in my face wouldn't say anything. But still, once in a while, I just got to get this out. Just got to vomit it out. All right.
Well, the other thing to think about is that Ghostbusters 3 movie or whatever where they're trying to get the original cast back together was not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, how'd that male effort go? How'd that work out for everybody? anyway, whatever. Let's send you on your way. Before we do, Steven, always something cool happening at Major Spoilers. Tell us more. What's going on?
If you want to see the big build and review of that Lego Ghostbusters headquarters, it's right there on the site right now, or you can head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Major Spoilers video, and watch it. It was tiring to put together, so it's worth checking out.
It looks like a piece of work to me.
It is. It really is.
Well, good luck to you. Have the best time possible, and let's do this again next Monday, shall we?
Let's do it.
Bye. There goes Steven. There he goes. There he goes. Let's call
there
Veronica.
There he goes again.
Veronica Belmont recently returned from the good times of somewhere that had snow in it.
Right.
I think it was Tahoe. I'm not sure. We'll ask. We'll find out. Belmont, fresh out of the slopes and back into the hopes of San Francisco and the greater.
Wow.
I don't know any of that meant.
That was actually pretty good.
That was good.
Where did you end up? Where were you? Tahoe or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was in Tahoe up in, Squaw.
Okay. That's really nice. Nice. Very pretty.
It was great.
Did you do this to avoid the Super Bowl town you live in?
That was the plan.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah.
The plan was successful.
And yeah, so you got home last night?
Yeah, we came home a little bit early. We're supposed to come back today, but Ryan was feeling a little under the weather, so we came back last night instead.
So
late.
When you did you, was it debauchery on the way home? Were there like cars tipped over? And I guess you guys didn't win the Super Bowl. I guess
we just hosted it. We weren't in the Super Bowl.
Plenty of fans of either side that could have looted, could have gone crazy.
Yeah, I just always wonder, like, the cities that host those games, I bet they're just nervous. Maybe
not.
It was
just weird because it wasn't even in San Francisco. It was down in Santa Clara, which is like an hour away.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I figured it
was. So they did all the Super Bowl city stuff up here, and it was like public transportation is terrible in San Francisco, so it's a pain in the butt to get to Santa Clara anyway. So I don't know. Whatever. Football's not my sport.
Nope.
I hope you guys had fun, people who like football.
Well, you look like you're having fun skiing. And
I did.
No video games while you were gone, though, right? That doesn't happen.
No video games, no. Though there was a bit of excitement recently when briefly, oh so briefly, Red Dead Redemption showed up on Xbox One for download.
I saw this, which is really unfortunate. There, people have been generally pretty bullish and excited about Xbox One's backwards compatibility program. It's been very solid. People are really jazzed about it. And when I heard about this, I just thought, well, that is just really sad because that game, likely on many people's lists, one of the best games of that generation.
Why can't they make another one? What is the freaking problem?
I don't know.
What is the problem?
Here's the
problem. Why is there not a next generation version?
You could easily make it 2.0.
Here's what they're going to do. I know they're making one. I'm sure of that. That I'm 100% sure on.
It's been so long.
It's been since 2010. It has been very long. Best game of that year and maybe that whole generation. But here's what I would like them to do. If they are indeed working on one, and all signs point to that's what their next major thing is. They've got lots of people working on a project that sounds like it's Red Dead. A Red Dead sequel. Here's what I hope in the meantime would happen. And I don't know why it never happened in the first place, because they do this with every other GTA game. Why isn't that a PC port? I would play it again right now, enhance it a bit for current gen, whatever, draw distance, whatever that is. It was already a beautiful game, so I don't even care if you touch it. Just put it on my PC, dude. I'd play it right now. I'm not going to I'm not going to hook up my PlayStation 3 and play it. There's no way.
It sounds like it's coming, at least for Xbox One. I mean, it was on also Red Dead, other than Red Dead Redemption, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, Left 4 Dead 2, Halo Wars, Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, and Tekken Tag Tournament 2 also made, quote, unscheduled appearances.
Did they get yanked too, or just the one?
They all got yanked.
Oh.
I think it was, and Larry Herb, Major Nelson, came on and said that they were testing these games, testing the ports. They weren't supposed to go live. They weren't supposed to be available for download. And they were pulled, obviously. So it sounds like they're going to be coming very soon, hopefully. But it was just like a little bit of a tease there.
Yeah. What a weird thing to glitch, though. Like, how does it, if you're just testing, who tests that, I wonder? Maybe it's the
Someone pushed it live. We had that problem with Core all the time back in the PlayStation days. Like, episodes would go live by accident. Then we would, like, break embargoes for Sony, and they would be like, we're like, we don't have control over when the episode goes up. You guys have the control over that. Someone on your end pushed it live. So it's never, that always drove me crazy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. So, but we fully expect then, and I know I see Microsoft has apologized for this.
Yeah, they felt bad. I mean, of course they do.
Of course they do, yeah. But this is good news then. That means that Red Dead wasn't a mistake or there wasn't some rights issue. It's coming. It will be hitting the service at some point.
Well, you know, as long as everything worked out okay. You know, we never know. Like, maybe the port wasn't exactly up to snuff. Maybe it's going to take longer than expected. So we don't know, but it seems like it's on track to be ported up for Xbox One.
Oh, they need a sequel so bad.
It's driving me crazy.
That game was so good. Ugh, we used to play. Remember, we played multiplayer a lot in that.
We played so much. That was so much fun to play.
So much fun, yeah. It's the best thing Rockstar ever made. And every time I hear rumblings that, they're working on a new GTA or they got this other thing in the works,
no.
I'm like, no.
Stop it.
Put your computers down. Go in the other room and make Red Dead, you jackasses. One last thing I would say about that, and that would be this. If you saw that pop up and you were excited and then they pulled it away from you and you're now frustrated and looking for something to do, the Xbox One version of Hand of Fate is currently free and is on sale on Steam and a few other places. That is one of my favorite games of 2015, and people should totally, if you have an Xbox One, you must download and play Hand of Fate.
Cool.
Awesome freaking game, and it's totally worth it, and it will distract you while Red Dead gets cooked or whatever they're doing to it.
Finishes baking.
Exactly. Well, it's good to have you back in town. Glad everything went well, and may your skiing days only be ahead of you, really.
I didn't even crash once.
Oh, good.
Nice.
That's really good. Good. I saw you on a tube or something. What was that about? You were flying down like a sled or something.
It was a tube. Yeah, it was tubing.
That looked really fun.
It was really fun. I did it like 6 times.
Oh, my gosh. That looked really
fun. I was really scared. I wanted to get a video, but I was really scared of dropping my phone, so I clutched it very tightly. It was a little nerve-wracking, but worth it, I think, for the outcome.
I agree. It's Veronica Belmont, at Veronica on Twitter. She has the best name on Twitter. Also, I was in one of her videos for Ask Veronica last week. Dear Veronica.
Dear Veronica. Damn Veronica.
That's what I
meant. Goddamn Veronica.
Dear Veronica is what I meant. She had me answer a question that was real fun to do, and y'all can check it out right now. Now it's time for you to get back to Fallout, your home. So enjoy that, and let's do this again next week.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
We'll see you.
All right. How come that won't hang up? There it goes. All right, Brian.
All right.
So far, this recording thing is working nicely.
It's working well, and the video and all that stuff working very well.
Yeah, it looks very nice.
Yes. I'm going to have another bite of this almond thing.
5 years later, you putting up these images is very boothy. You know what
kind
I mean?
Kind of is boothy.
I like it. Like a little production boothy.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. All right. And it hasn't been too distracting, I would say.
During Daryl's thing, I looked ahead at all the topics and just got pictures ready for it.
That's great.
I'm going with the keeping a Photoshop document open that's the right size and just copying and pasting everything in there.
Just hit and save every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, makes easy peasy.
Really fast, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it for that. We got some phone calls. I'm going to play two of them.
Okay.
These come to us at 801-471-0462. We got one about being a bi guy.
Okay.
Or at least explaining it, so here's that.
This is in response to Scott wondering why everyone, all their guests, keeps calling them bi guys. Because whenever you say goodbye to somebody on Skype, you always say bye now. So if you keep telling everyone that you're bye now, they're going to call you bye guy. Stop the show, though.
You've caused it yourself. Yeah. You've made this happen.
Once again.
You have nobody to blame.
Once again, the disease is mine.
I understand
completely. Here's another call about drinking water in California. We were talking about how they even survive down there. How are you guys even living without all your water, right? Well, this guy says how.
Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Keaton calling in for TMS from Southern California. Just wanted you two to hear this real quick. That's me taking a sip from a nice cold water bottle that I bought very easily from the store. I've never had a drink of grandma's urine. Love the Thrall Burger, though.
All right, I may have made a comment that everyone had to resort to drinking grandma's pee.
Just had grandma pee on a tree and collected the bottom.
I take it all back. You guys have plenty of water, so that's good. But you can't. But there, it's still a water shortage. Like you have to request it at restaurants, or they won't bring it to you.
Correct.
Things like that, right? And I mean, look, I'm watching this documentary about Syria right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have no problems at all in this country compared to what's happening in Syria. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to have a more even perspective on things, but still, you know. If you have a standard of water expectation, it'd be nice if you had enough water. So quit buying it from us. All right, Brian, let's get the hell out of here. Let's be done with the show. Right. Big thanks to everybody for listening. Patreon.com/TMS gets you a couple of things. One, a way to support the show. Two, a way to get a fifth episode every week. On Thursdays, we do an extra show called TMS PM only because you've pushed us over a certain level on Patreon that puts us there. Third reason, you get access to our all-exclusive Slack. Only patrons get there.
That's
come
right.
on in there, hang out, share your time. Those people are rad. We love them. And it's a great way to meet
people. Would not believe the exclusive things happening over in Slack.
Slack makes me wonder why forums even exist anymore. And I mean that.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like live forums. It's really crazy.
I own forums and I don't care about them.
Okay.
Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Again, that phone number to call and leave those voicemail messages at is 801-471-0462. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, the show at Morning Stream. A reminder that today at noon Mountain Time, that's 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, I will be doing a live boop show every Monday at that time. It's going to be noon on Mondays. Decided to go live with that thing. Let people have a number to call to hang out and talk to me about the stuff we're talking about. There's a quick preview of the screen for those watching live. There's the number up in the corner.
I love that. I'm going to have to tune in.
Yeah. Feel free, everybody, to participate. Enjoy it. The goal is that I have a harder time making sure that show happens every time if I don't have a locked-in time to do it. This is going to help me do that. Like you do with Coverville on Wednesdays. You have a locked-in time, mm-hmm. and because you have that, you stick to it every time.
Yes.
That's what's happening here. So. Yep. Today.
It makes a difference.
Yep. Guys, we're stopping it right here to have a quick conversation about Squarespace at squarespace.com. A great way to make a professionally designed website without any crazy skills involved. Even you can do it is what I'm trying to say. No coding required. Everything looks beautiful. Intuitive and easy to use tools. They have state-of-the-art powerful stuff behind your site to ensure security and stability. Trusted by millions of people. Some of the most respected brands in the world. Starts at $8 a month is all. And you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Think of that. Start a free trial today. No credit card required. Just give it a shot at squarespace.com. If you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code MORNING and get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Beautiful. That's it. I think that's it. You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Let's play
nothing.
That.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go after the show. I'm going to go to Best Buy because they're having a sale on Disney Infinity characters. I'm going to finish up my Marvel collection.
That sounds all right. Mm-hmm. What's the sale? Like, what kind of savings you getting there?
$10 each.
No, that's not bad.
No, not bad.
That's actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's as cheap as most of these stupid bobblehead-looking whatchamatoys.
Yes, the Funko Pops.
The Funko
Pops.
Cheaper
than those.
Yeah, cheaper than that. So, yes. Good luck. Actually,
I only
there's
need a couple.
We have a place here that's like a... I forget what it's called, but I think it's a Utah-only thing, but they sell them for $8, those Funkos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like used, probably, right?
Maybe. I don't know. The only one I ever got there was new, and it was only $8. But maybe they're used. I don't know. But here's the point. We're getting out now. We're leaving.
That's the point.
Why don't you play us out? You got music to play, don't you?
Yes. Okay. Caesar wrote in. Hail Caesar! Wrote in and said, good morning, scotch tape and brown bread.
Ew.
Monday, the 8th of February is my birthday, and I'm getting the day off from work just to chill. I'd love to hear a cover of Chandelier from Sia, or Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd. If you don't have either of those, please play something happy and upbeat.
Mm.
Signed, the tender bacon cheddar crisp dude.
Damn it.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Nice.
Thought you were off the hook, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
All right. Prepare to fall in love with a voice. You are going to fall in love with this woman's voice. I guarantee it. We're going to go the Sia route, a cover of Chandelier. This is by Jasmine Thompson from her album Take Cover, which came out back in 2014. It is a cover, as mentioned, of Sia's Chandelier. Here's Jasmine Thompson.
Remind me, Sia is the one that flipped everybody off last Super Bowl? Is that who that is? That gave the bird to everyone?
No, I don't think so.
Or a couple years ago, maybe?
I don't think Sia's done anything Super Bowl.
Okay. Somebody flipped us all off, and someone in the chat will remind me who. Mm. I don't want to...
Was it part of Katy Perry's business?
I think so. One of her little sideshows?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, real quick.
Was it...
How come those guys had to share the stage with with Beyonce and Bruno Mars?
Because it's a celebration of 50 years of Super Bowl halftime shows.
Oh.
So it was like celebrating. So they brought out two of the more recent ones.
And they saw the video from all the 50 years and everything. And I get that, I guess. But I feel bad a little bit for Coldplay because they just got upstaged. Like,
well, but they do that every year. Like Katy Perry had, not Nicki Minaj. It was,
but they got to come out and sing like,
what can I remember her name? Oh my gosh. She was in that commercial with Alec Baldwin and Dan Marino.
Oh, Kimmy P, Frederica Von Froggy Pants. What's her name?
Anyway, Mia was the one who flipped us off.
Get your freak on. Get your freak on.
Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, yeah. That went nowhere fast. There's the song that Brian just talked about. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a whole new episode. Come on back now. You hear?
Party girls don't get hurt. Can't feel anything. When will I learn? I push it down. Push it down. I'm the one for a good time. Call phones blowing up, ringing my doorbell. I feel the love, feel the love. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. Throwing back till I lose count. From the chandelier, I'm gonna leave like tomorrow doesn't exist, like it doesn't exist. I'm gonna fly like a bird through the night, through my tears as they dry. I'm holding on for the life, won't look down, won't open my eyes. Keep my glass full until morning light, cause I'm just holding on for tonight. Help me, I'm holding on for the life, won't look down, won't open my eyes. Keep my glass full until morning light, cause I'm just holding on for tonight, on for tonight. Sun is up, I'm a mess, gotta get up now, gotta run from this. Here comes the shame, comes the shame. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. Throwing back till I lose count.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
We have losers. We have losers.
We have losers.
We have losers.
We have losers.